stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6, and I'm debating on whether I should just read verse 1 through 8 because some stuff that leaped up at me in a couple of verses. I was going to just read 6, 7, and 8, but we're going to probably, let's just go on to read all 8 verses to be on the safe side. Preach what I read what I preach. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6. This series is wisdom for life. It's what God has put in my spirit. We need wisdom just for living, just for life, right? Yeah. Amen. And it is a blessing that God's word gives us that. You don't have to go and buy the New York Times bestseller. You can just buy the bestseller of all time, the Bible. Amen. Amen. When you have Proverbs chapter number 6, you're looking at verse 1, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep unto thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thy sluggard. Consider her ways, and be wise. Which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. Amen. May God add a blessing to those his doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. And we will see how this message, it may not be what you had came to get. You know, if you needed an emotional lift, I don't know if this is going to lift you emotionally, but it will help you spiritually. Amen. Amen. But I want to use, again, the theme of the series that I'm in here is Wisdom for Life. But this particular message, the subtitle would be Consider the Ant. Amen. Consider the Ant. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. The book of Proverbs, again, I told you on last week how it's written by Solomon. Basically, Hezekiah put this book had the scribes put this book together because of the wisdom of Solomon and what they got from Solomon's life. Solomon was so wise. He wrote 3,000 new right off the top of his head, or as the young folks say, off the dome. He could quote 3,000 proverbs. 3,000. And, you know, I always say, you know, we probably can't get 2 or 3 out of, you know, right off the dome. We got to think about it. Solomon was wise. His life, what he knew, was evident in his life because he had peace on all sides. He didn't have to war with anybody. He had prosperity in his life. He didn't have to worry about his enemies trying to kill him, all that stuff. Solomon didn't have to worry because he had such wisdom. When he was a child, he didn't ask for riches. And that's where we go wrong. We always want money. You know, he didn't ask for that. He said, Lord, just give me wisdom on how to deal with people. When we learn how to deal with people, then we can have prosperity and peace in our life. Amen. And so God said, because you didn't ask for money and riches and power, you know, all of that, he said, I'm going to give you wisdom, and that's going to bring you all of that stuff that you didn't ask for. Now, some things we don't have to ask God for, but when we get wisdom, he said he gives us wisdom. When we get wisdom, we ought to seek wisdom out. But sometimes we, you know, the things that we see, especially on social media, on television, and the people that we follow, you got to understand it's the reason why they say follow and follow back. You got to know who you're following. Amen. Are we followers of Christ or are we followers of, you know, whatever? So anyway, but Solomon, I'm a follower today of Solomon. You know, I clicked on his account and I'm following him because he has some wisdom that I need in my life. And you know one thing about a person who seeks out wisdom, you're never too old to gain it. A person who is ever learning and ever coming into wisdom and understanding is a person that's going to grow. I don't care how old you get. You can get 90, 100 years old. And I often tell this story. I remember talking to one of my cousins, Deacon Elisha Gay. He told me that he was 93 years old, and I would go see him and talk to him. He said, I learned something. I learned something every time you come up here. I said, you learned something from me? You know, you double my age or triple, you know. And he said, no, he said, I do. He said, if a person ever get too old or where they can't learn something, there ain't no need for them being here.
Amen.
And that stuck with me. So no matter how old you get, you ought to want to learn something. You ought not think that you know it all. Because there's somebody that know more than you. Amen. But back to what I was saying here, he's talking to his son. And the idea that he's trying to present to us is that we must be sons of God. You know, if you're not a son, there's another word that you are. What did you say? DK said, for the sake of the children, I'll spell it, B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Now, the difference is this. A bastard cannot be taught and corrected by a father. But a son, no matter what the correction is and no matter what the father does, he's right back up under it, trying to learn what he can learn.
Amen.
That's and you know, we used to, you know, and I'm not, don't get me wrong here, I'm not trying to put the older preachers down, but they understood what they understood. But when you understand better, let me explain to you, when they would always talk about the bastard children, they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to christen them in the church, all this kind of stuff. They didn't understand what the scripture really was talking about. It was not talking about children born out of wedlock. It was talking about people who would not be fathered. People who would not be fathered. In other words, they would not receive instruction and correction and understanding, but they wanted to just be a fool. Y'all with me still? And so when you're a son, the Bible says, and notice something, the Bible never says you'll be sons and daughters. The Bible says you'll be what? Sons. Because there's no male or female in the body of Christ. There is no gender. The Spirit has no gender. Okay. Let me share this with you. Since I got somebody that's doubting what I'm saying. The Bible says that one of the names of God is El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. Right? Y'all heard that before?
Amen.
El Shaddai. And what El Shaddai means, we always say it means the mighty God. But did you know it really means the many-breasted one? That's the true meaning. I'm just going to let that rest there. Selah.
All right.
Meaning he can feed us all at the same time. Yeah. Not only that, but he's strong enough. He is strong enough to carry us all at the same time. Y'all don't hear me?
Amen.
And so we can't get caught up in all this flesh stuff. We got to understand that what we understand is by the what? Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so he says, my son, and the Bible says that we are all, Jesus has made us all what? Sons. If we would just believe in him.
Amen.
Right? He has the power to make us what? Sons.
Yes.
Right? And he said that in the book of Romans, he talks about us being sons or heirs of God. Right? And sonship has to do with inheritance and what you get from God, because we inherit him through, we inherit the Holy Spirit through the death of Jesus Christ when we believe. And so he says, my son. Those who listen to me, who follow me, who are born of me, who are born again.
Yes.
He said, be sure of your friend. Make sure of who you call your friend.
Yes.
It's wisdom. He says, if you have stricken hands with a stranger. Now, I didn't at first, a while back, I didn't understand that. But then I understood if you strike hands with somebody, that means you shook hands and made a deal. If you in cahoots with somebody who you really don't know, you know, because sometimes we think that we know people.
Yeah.
We think that we understand them. We think that because we root for the same team that we all right. And we can agree with them.
But he said you better make sure of who you're agreeing with. Uh-huh. He said, because what you agree into, verse 2, he said, what you're in agreement with, he said, it can come back and snare you. Yeah. Thou art snared by the words of your mouth. And thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. In other words, what you say, what you agree with, can get you in trouble. Amen. Who you agree with can mess you up. So we got to make sure we agree with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they ain't agreeing with what Jesus said, then we can't keep finding ourselves in agreement with it. Nowadays, we got people choosing sides regardless. They choose this side because I know somebody that's like this or know somebody that does that. And, I'm agreeing with that. I can kind of see their point. You know what? I don't want to see your point now. I only want to understand. We got in all our getting, we have to get the understanding. Get the understanding. What is the understanding? It is understanding things the way God understands things. Yeah. So be careful who you're shaking hands with. Be careful who you're in agreement with. Because when you make that vow of agreement, you can snare yourself. In other words, you can get caught up. That's what the word snare means, to be caught. You can be caught up because of what you're saying. See, sometimes we think people are our friends, and we talk to them, we tell them our secrets, and then they go and tell somebody, and then we're snared by the words of our own mouth. Amen. Y'all don't hear me here. This is word, wisdom for life now. And I'm going to try to get to the message, but I had to stop and pause at these verses because they wouldn't let me go bound. So we're snared by the words of our mouth. And then he says in verse 3, he said, do this right now. Right now, notice this, deliver thyself when I come into the hand of thy friend, and go humble thyself and make sure of your friend. He said, you got to deliver yourself when you come into the hand of your friend. When you put yourself in other folks' hands, you need to learn how to deliver yourself. Amen. You got to learn how to get out of their hand and put yourself in God's hand. Amen. Let me go on because I'll be all day. He said, humble yourself. Because sometimes we get too proud to humble ourselves till we get out of the situation. You don't know who I am. But we have to humble ourselves to get through a situation, get out of a situation. Don't be a fool. Humble yourself. All right, let me go on. He says, verse number 4, give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. In other words, don't go to sleep yet. Don't sleep on this stuff. Be wise. Verse 5. He said, but deliver thyself as a roe out of the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, he's telling us, he said, don't waste any time. As soon as you sense them about to do you, you need to move. As soon as there's a sign, a signal, a snap of a branch that don't seem right. You know, I don't know if anybody ever been deer hunting, but sometimes you ain't got to do nothing. But if a deer, they'll just be looking around, and if they just get a little whiff of something, they just take off. I ain't looking to see who it is. I ain't trying to find out what it was, but I'm out of here. I don't want to know what's behind me, but I'm gone. That's what he's saying here. He said, don't waste time trying to figure it out who did what. But you know, when somebody is trying to do something, we think they're trying to be mischievous and do some mischief to us. We go try to find out who said it, who did it, who's all in cool. He said, don't even look to find out. Just leave it alone. Because when you try to dig it up, you start trying to find out now who you got to go fight. All you want, who you going to fight? Everybody? Because let me tell you the truth. Everybody talked about you. So you can't fight everybody. Amen. I'm telling you, everybody passed that bit of gossip about you. You mad with the world? All right. And a bird from the hand of the fowler. Bird won't even let you get too close to him, dude. We need to watch who and what we let get close to us. All right. This is wisdom for life. All right? Y'all with me? Yeah. And so we have to learn how to deliver. And the thing, look at what he said. He said, deliver yourself. Because some people, they are there to be, they are opportunists, and they only see you as an opportunity. Yes. What they can get out, see, when they see you, they don't see your good heart. They see what they can get out of you. Yeah. They want what they can get out of that good heart. Yeah. Some people are just opportunity. And you got to know this. The devil is an opportunist. He waits on an opportunity to get you, to snare you, to hold you, to get you in a position. And he's saying that you need to deliver yourself. Now, we've been praying for God to deliver us, and God said, it's in your power. Now, the one thing God will do once we get ourselves in a mess and we mess it all up, the Bible said that he will provide a way of escape. But he's saying before you get into that position, deliver yourself. Amen. All right. So first, let's go on. And now here's the message. That was just the prelude to it. Here's the message. Verse six, says, go to the ant, thy sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, right? And we need to learn to consider the ant. So he's still talking to us about wisdom. He said, you don't have to make deals with people to try to get by, to try to gain things. You don't have to try to friend people. You know, we try to network so we can make it, you know. And you know what? Preachers are the world's worst. We try to network so we can become somebody. We want to be something so bad that we don't mind networking with the devil. We'll network with false prophets and whoever else we can network with so that we can become something. So we can have a bunch of people at our church. So, you know, we'll go visit people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and all. I'm trying to tell you. So we can think that people like our ministry. When had it not been enough that God ordained us to do something and just do it? So he said, go to the ant. Go to the ant, sluggard, and consider her ways. We had to understand that he don't want us to be sluggards. He don't want us to be slothful, especially in business. But you know what? And let me make sure. We're all African-American in here. We are real slothful when it comes to business. We don't like to pay our bills on time. Because we done shook hands with a stranger who we didn't know, and now we got to pay all that interest. Think about that when you buy a car. Think about it when you buy a car. You shake hands with that salesman. He shake your hand when you get there. He shake your hand when you leave. But did you check the interest rate before you left? You're snared. But don't be lazy. Read the fine print. Y'all still with me? Read the fine print. Because the fine print will cost you later. You're snared by that contract that you signed, that you agreed to. Now, he talked about the ant. He says, now when it comes to this, he's talking about going out and finding people, making them your friend and all this stuff. But then what a friend we have in Jesus. We need to make sure that our friend, look, even though we have a friend in Jesus, we need to make sure that Jesus is our friend. Y'all still with me here? Oh, we can sing that, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I like to sing, oh, what a Jesus I have in my friend. Because if I got Jesus in my friend, I ain't got to worry about the backstabbing. If I got Jesus in my friend, I don't have to worry about any mischief. I don't have to worry about any deception. Y'all still with me today? I won't be here for Bible says some teaching. He says that we need to go to the ant. And the reason he said that is because we should not be slumbering and being a sluggard about things, hoping that somebody will do things for us and not press our way to make it happen. Amen? But look at what he says. Consider their work. Consider them. And when we consider the ant, we have to look at their work. We consider his work because they work and they don't fight. Yeah. Ain't nobody hardly say amen now. They work in partnership. Y'all with me here? They work, and this is the church. We must learn to work in partnership. They work in love, right? They work together, and not only do they work together, but check it out, they walk together. You don't ever see an ant, one ant trying to get in front of the next ant. They know that we'll get there when we're supposed to. Y'all still with me? They walk together. They work together. And the Bible tells us this. How can two walk together except they what? Agree. We can't be yoking up with folks we don't really agree with. Amen. Just so we can get by. So we can get what we... You know what? You're going to get there regardless. Right. with or without them. Ask Abraham. The Bible says that when Abraham, when he went and helped Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, that when he defeated their enemies, they wanted to bless him. He said, no, I don't need you to bless me. Keep it, because I don't want no man saying that they made Abraham great. In other words, Abraham had confidence that, look, ain't nobody else going to say this but God, that he made me great. Even though he still was struggling, he didn't have everything. He didn't even have his son yet, but guess what? He said that you're not going to be able to say you made me great, because I know my destiny and God is going to make me great. The greatest I can be is when I'm in God. Y'all still with me? We got to walk together and agree. We have to work together. We got to work in agreement. And the thing about an ant, let's look at the scripture here. He says that the ant, that he should consider ways and be wise, which have no guide, verse 7, and no what? Overseer. The ant works from an inner motivation, not out of supervision. Some of us won't do anything until somebody tell us.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Some of us won't do the right thing until somebody say, you know, that's wrong. The ant has an inner motivation that they know that I got to do this, and I don't need somebody to tell me to do it. I don't need somebody to push me to do it. Young people, you got to have an inner motivation. You can't wait for somebody to tell you. Y'all listen to me back there. Y'all, you got to have an inner motivation. You can't wait for somebody to push you and make you do something and tell you that it's the best thing for you and keep telling you it's the best thing for you, and you don't even realize that they got your best interest. But, you know, it's good for parents to push them. It's all right. But they got to have that motivation. You know, if you don't have an inner motivation, then you won't progress, on, not even on your job. You won't promote. Amen. You can't wait for somebody to tell you, well, here, do this. If you ain't got nothing to do, learn something.
Right.
Read something. You know, I hate seeing young people posting on Facebook and Instagram, bored.
Yeah.
Bored. Learn something.
Right.
Read something.
Yeah.
Do something.
Amen.
Offer some help to somebody.
Amen.
Y'all with me still? He says, which have no guide, no overseer, or ruler. He tells us to go to the ant, who have no guide, no overseer, no ruler. Ain't nobody got to make them do nothing. And you know what? We got to make people do stuff.
Yeah.
We got to make them do. We got to make, you know, and it wouldn't be so, you know what? Some of the preachers wouldn't be so manipulative if people would just give like they supposed to. Yeah, I don't ask nobody for nothing, but I'm just saying, if you just did what you were supposed to do,
amen,
the preachers, they wouldn't be on TV talking about every time they end their message, if you just give $19.99, $199.99, they wouldn't be asking you for that all the time.
Okay.
Sow into this anointing to make you give. Okay. Y'all still with me here?
Yeah.
They don't fight. Ants, have you ever seen two ants fighting? Never. And listen, growing up, I watched everything. I watched ants, birds. I love to watch birds. I never saw an ant fight. I never saw ants in a brawl. They never rioted in their colonies.
No.
They ain't burned no ant stores up.
Amen.
Y'all with me still? Can I talk like this today? They didn't steal from, one ant didn't steal a piece of bread from another ant. Huh? They work in love. They work in love. They don't steal from one another. They don't fight one another. They don't try to outdo one another, get ahead of one another. They wait in their course, in their turn, to do the job that they're supposed to do. They all have assignments. They know what they're supposed to do. And you know what? They ain't worried about if somebody else ain't doing it. They ain't worried about the ant that got off the beaten path.
Right.
They're going to stay on the path and keep rolling.
Amen.
Amen. You have soldier ants. Check this out. They have soldier ants, and these ants, they will protect the colony. They will bite and fight whatever, whoever. I don't care how big it is. If it's a horse, they'll bite him. Y'all with me? And the other thing that those soldiers ants do, you know what they do? They kill any ant that ain't working. Take them out. I know y'all didn't come for this today. And so they do all of this, and they work in harmony. And the thing about an ant, you know what? Not one ant by itself don't scare you. One ant by itself don't make, I mean, you know, you see that ant, and you know, and you might kill it and whatever. It don't bother you. But you let it be a bunch of them. Not just you, but your dog, your cat, everybody getting out of the way. If you got more than one ant, he said, go to the ant. Consider her ways. If we work together, I don't care how big the problem is. I don't care how big the government is. I don't care how big the situation. I don't care how racist they are. Y'all see what I'm saying? If we work together. Whatever it is, doesn't have to be in it, you know, but whatever it is, if we work together, we can put fear, we can strike fear in the heart of whatever's holding us back. I wish y'all stay with me today. One ant may not do it. The Bible said one could put 1,000, but two what? 10,000. If we would work together, we could make some progress. Amen. I'm trying to get there, y'all. Y'all bear with me. The thing about, let me tell you about this driver ant. This driver ant, whenever he on the move, he will make snakes, elephants, tigers, lions, he will make them get out of the way because they don't want to feel the sting. Isn't there something? If we would just, and he on a path that he ain't going to turn from. If you notice, ants don't turn. They don't turn. They don't, you know, they don't, they just, you know, whatever the path is, and you can't even see, it's invisible. You can't even see the path that they on. But they know what path to go. Isn't that something? And some folks can't see your path. They don't know where you're going. But the Bible says he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's. Y'all with me today? They can't see your path. But God has you on the path. They don't understand why you get up and pray 5 a.m. They don't understand why you come to church on Sunday and Thursday or Wednesday. They don't understand why you do some of the things that you do. And maybe they can't see what you see. So don't be frustrated when they don't understand you and don't see what you see, because God has put you on a path that only you and other ants or other Christians like you know. The world's not going to understand your path. So quit trying to get them to understand you and accept you and believe in you, because they won't believe in you. Not until we bite them. Not until we invade their place. You know, and the thing about an ant, they'll come and take over. Wherever they go, they're going to build this mound. They're going to take over. He said, consider the what? The ant. They're powerful together. The church can be powerful if we work together. Not only is the ant's work a partnership, but the ant's work is productive. It is a work of wisdom, right? The ant, we got to consider their wisdom. Amen? And so when we consider their wisdom, look at what he says. When he start talking about their wisdom, he starts to talk about, he says, that which provided meat in the summer, gather her food in harvest. In other words, the ant knows that it's going to come a time where I might not have something that I can just go pick up and get. It comes a time, the ant knows that winter is coming and we got to go deeper underground. Y'all don't hear me? And so we got to take something with us so that we'll be prepared for later, and not just for us, but for the unborn ants. the wisdom of the ant. But how many of us do stuff to make sure that our children are prepared?